heart that started to manifest in my teen years, where I was getting involved in drugs and partying and all sorts of crazy stuff, going to raves and all this sort of stuff. And when I was 20 years old, I was dating this girl named Krista. And she's my wife now, but we were dating for about a year. Her dad's a pastor. She was working in a nightclub. She was doing all the things with me that I was doing, which was pretty messed up. We dated for a year. We never once talked about God. Never once. I thought that I was living the life. I was making good money. I had a triple black GT convertible Mustang. I had a great social life, a great party life. But one night she called me up. And she was bawling on the phone. And I said, "What's going on?" She said, "I don't know. I can't stop crying. I've been crying for hours." And I said, "Well, why don't I come over and console you? Maybe give you a hug and help you get through this difficult time in your life, whatever's going on." I went to her house 45 minutes later. Her cheeks were like your fingers get if you spend too much time in a bathtub. They were all wrinkly. She was crying so much. I wasn't even looking for him. I thought that I was living the life. I had buried that emptiness and tried to fill that emptiness with so much stuff. That brokenness in my heart and in my life, I tried to bandage it with money and success and drugs and girls and partying and all sorts of stuff. And I can't explain it to you, but when I went and sat inside her bedroom with her, we sat on her bed and we began to talk. And I said, "Well, what's going on in your heart? What's going on in your life? What are you thinking about?" And all I remember is she looked at me and she said, "I feel empty. And I feel lost. And I feel numb." And when she said those things, it was like, boom, a piercing in my heart. And God, in His glory, in His grace, began to peel back the layers and show me my true condition, my true state without Him. And I began to cry and I said, "I feel empty. I feel lost. I feel numb. Why do you think I've been doing what I've been doing?" I said, "But what do we do?" And I share this with you because you need to know that there's people all around you, all around this city, all around this country that are doing the same thing. They're trying to fill this emptiness. They're trying to fill this void with all sorts of stuff that can only be filled with one thing, one person, Jesus Christ. And I said, "What do we do?" And she looked at me and she said, "Casey, I know exactly what I need to do." She said, "I need to get my life right with Jesus." When she said that, it was like an explosion went off inside of my heart. It was like if you're in the casino and you pull that jackpot and ding, 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 ding. It was like this explosion went off inside of me and it was an instant download that God spoke to me. He said, "This is why you have been created, was to have a relationship with me through Jesus Christ." And so we went church hopping. Instead of bar hopping, we went church hopping. We went to different churches to try and find the right fit for us. And we went to this one church where God was doing an amazing, amazing thing. You had to show up Sunday nights an hour early just to get a seat on a Sunday night. And every night people would flood the altar, turning their lives over to Jesus. And I would follow suit every Sunday night because I was still stuck in between two worlds. I was partying on Friday and Saturday night and going to church on Sunday. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And it was a tug of war that was happening inside of my heart. It was honestly like a little bit of hell on earth because I knew where I wanted to be. I knew what I wanted to do with my life, serve Jesus with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. But I was still stuck to something back here. And what God began to show me is so much my identity was wrapped up in what I used to be like that I was having a hard time letting go into who He created me to be. And I remember this Sunday. It was about 10 months into that journey. We were driving up to Cyprus to go for a little picnic, me and Krista. I didn't even think we were engaged at that time. And I remember I had encountered God many times. I'd gone to the altar many times. But I couldn't get free from the things that were holding me back. And I remember driving up and I remember looking at Krista and saying to her, "Do we really have to go all the way? Do we really have to give it all up? I kind of like drinking. I kind of like partying. I kind of like the music that I've been listening to." You know what I was doing, friends? I was believing the lie that Jesus isn't enough. I remember she looked at me and she said, I'm going all the way with Jesus, with or without you. And it kind of sobered me up, and I thought to myself, I'm going to lose this girl if I don't make some decisions here. We got up to our lookout point in Cyprus, and Vancouver's there, and we pulled out our picnic and we began to talk. And maybe you've had this before where there's things in your life that you just don't sense there's breakthrough or things. And I'm like, does God even care? Like, is he really even there? And if he is, why isn't he answering these desires of my heart? Why isn't he setting me free from these things that keep pulling me back into that old lifestyle? I remember she looked at me and she said, Casey, maybe there's something blocking. Maybe there's something in the way. Maybe I don't know what it is. And I said, but what? What could it be? Like, I feel like I've gone and surrendered. And she said, what about forgiveness? I said, forgiveness for what? I had felt that I'd forgiven my parents and myself. And anyway, we went to church that night, and guess what the pastor preached on? Forgiveness. And I was in the balcony, top shelf, at the back, trying to hide from God. You can't hide from God. But I remember when he gave the opportunity to come to the altar, I ran to the front. Snotty, tear-filled mess. And I dropped to my knees. And I remember just Jesus so gently speaking to me, saying, Casey, you've been on the fence. And it's time to make a decision. You're either with me or you're against me. You're either for me or you're for yourself. You can't live both ways. And I remember just on my knees holding out my hands to Jesus in surrender, saying, take it, God. Take my life, take my hurt, take my pain, take my identity, take everything that I am. I am yours. I surrender it all to you. And I literally felt the hand of God reach inside of me and take out my heart of stone and put a new heart inside of me. And everything changed from that moment. My desires changed. My vision, my purpose, my direction for my life changed. And I share this with you because I felt, even as I was driving in this morning and as I was praying about what God wanted me to share, I felt like there's many of you in this church, many of you in life that are living purposeless lives. You think that you're living for the right purpose and you're trying to get the next big house, the next big thing. You're caught up in the rat race of what the world says success is. And you're forgetting that Jesus has left you here as his church for one purpose. And it's to empty hell and populate heaven. It's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in and through your everyday life. And if you're not living the abundant life that Jesus has for you, he does have something more for you. But I want to share with you the key to unlocking that. In these closing minutes, see, John 10:10 says this thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly, life to the fullest. And when we look at that statement that Jesus made, either it wasn't true because there's so many people that are Christians that are living average, mundane, 9 to 5, punching their Sunday church time clock lives. Do you know what I'm talking about? You go to church, but outside of Sunday, it means little or nothing in and through your life. Your friends don't even know that you're a believer. You listen to the same music they listen to. You do the same things that they do. You drink the same amount that they drink. You party the same amount that they party. But God has something more for you. He's got an abundant life for you, but it requires complete surrender. Listen, it is the best life that you could ever possibly live. And this is what he says, the same word that he uses for Zoe, abundant life. He says, I have come that you may have Zoe, abundant life, more abundant life than you could ever possibly imagine. But Jesus also said this in Mark 8, in verse 34. He said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Thank you for having the cross in the church. as the focal point of who we are in our identity in Christ. This whole thing, Christianity, is not even about doing. It's about being more than it is about the doing. The doing out is an outflow. It's an overflow from who you already are in Jesus Christ. And when we look at the cross, oftentimes we think about sacrifice, that Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross. So I need to sacrifice in my life. I got to sacrifice my time. I got to sacrifice my giving, whatever it is. Or we think about obedience. That Jesus was obedient unto the Father, even unto death on the cross. And it's true. It is both of those things. But let me tell you, friends, if you don't get this piece, you'll never get the other ones right. The cross is the greatest statement of love that the world could ever know. It was because of love that he went to the cross. It was because of his love for you and for me that he went to the cross. His love of the world that he chose to lay down his life. Greater love has nobody than to lay down their life for their friends. And he counts you and me a friend. And he says, if you want to come after me, you need to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If we desire to build up a kingdom of comfort, a kingdom where we're complacent and comfortable, it's never challenging, it never costs us anything to follow Jesus, then Jesus is saying you'll lose the abundant life that I came for you to have. When did we ever get this notion that Christianity was about arriving safely at death? Christianity in Christ is the safest place to be, like you were saying, but it's also the most dangerous place to be if you're living fully for him. Because it's living outside of yourself. It's constantly stretching yourself. You think about, you hear about giving out Bibles or whatever, and I'm going to give you a challenge to take a Bible when you go today and ask God to give, and you're like, I can never do that. That's not natural. Maybe that's natural for you, but it's not natural for me. Friends, it's not supposed to be natural. It's supposed to be supernatural. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He says this, he says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. Whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Knowing Jesus and making him known. And I don't know about you, I'm a bit of an adrenaline guy, and I've done all sorts of crazy things. I've done skydiving, I've done bungee jumping, I've gone super fast on motorcycles, I've done all sorts of things, but there is nothing that pumps me up as much as seeing a life changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and just playing a small part in that. It's the reason I get up in the morning. It's to know Jesus and make him known. And if we miss that in our lives, then we're going to miss the fullness. I know that passion looks different for all of us. I'm not saying you need to stand up and shout on a microphone. But all of us need to be passionate about the one that we love. And when you're passionate about the one that you love, you can't help but spill over to people around you. And evangelism is simply put, it's simply those that have experienced reconciliation, those that have experienced the love and the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace of God, sharing his heart for those that have yet to experience it. It's not a method, it's not a messenger, it's a message of Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to encourage you today, church. Jesus was laser focused on why he was on this earth, even from a young age, 12 years old. Do you remember the story when Mary and Joseph, they lost him when they went to the celebrations of the Passover and they forgot about him? And they went a whole day's journey and they're like, wait a minute, where's Jesus? And they go back to Jerusalem and they find Jesus and he's talking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders and they're like, Jesus, what the heck are you doing? You gave us a heart attack. Anybody ever lost a kid? I never have, thank God. But you know, Jesus says to them, don't you know that I'm supposed to be about my Father's business? Jesus was laser focused. He understood the reason and the purpose of why he was on this earth. And friends, if your purpose on this earth is unknown to you, let it be known to you today that it is to know Jesus and make him known. The way that that happens is going to be different for all of us. The way that we engage and share the love of Jesus with our neighbors and with our coworkers and family members and strangers might be a little bit different. But we want to encourage you and help you that if you take a Gospel of John or an app card or a magazine with you today and you simply ask God, who do you want me to give this to? You watch. You watch as he opens the door for somebody that you could plant the seed of his word. And who knows, it might even open up a conversation to where you can share Jesus with people. You know, statistics in North America, just in closing, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. Just in closing, statistics say that 2% of the church in North America actively share their faith. 2%. You know the number one reason why believers don't share their faith? Fear. Fear of not having the right thing to say. Fear of saying the wrong thing. Fear of losing a business deal. Fear of offending somebody. Fear of looking like a fool. You know, we quote the scripture about fear out of context so often where it says God has not given us a spirit of love or spirit of fear. No, he has given us a spirit of love. Not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love, the love of Christ that compels us. He's given us a spirit of power, the power of the gospel unto salvation for those that would believe, and of sound mind, knowing that we're not bringing them philosophy, but we're bringing them the words of life. That Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, drawing people to himself, can transform a life. That scripture has everything to do with personal witness and evangelism. And just in closing, I want to close with Romans 12, verse 1. Paul, the dude who wrote most of the New Testament, the guy who, before he was Paul, he was Saul. He hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. He stood by and watched as Christians were murdered. He had an arrest warrant to go out and try and shut this Christianity thing, the people of the way. He was trying to shut it down, and he had an encounter with the grace of God. God, Jesus could have wiped him out in an instant because he was a threat. Not really, but he thought he was to Christianity. And his whole life was flipped upside down. And he's writing to the church. He's writing to the church in Rome, to the believers. And this is what he challenges them to do. In Romans 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's like, I beg you, brothers and sisters, I'm begging you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body's a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The only way it's holy and acceptable to God is not based on what you do. It's based on what's been done for you. None of us are holy. None of us are acceptable to God. We are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But he paid the penalty of our past sin, our future sin, and our current sin. God is not looking at your past to determine your future. And he says, I beg you, present your bodies holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The problem with the living sacrifice is it always wants to get off the altar. So after a couple of worship songs, Pastor Darcy is going to come up and close the service and invite you to a time of prayer. And I'm just asking, if God has tweaked something in your spirit and in your heart today, maybe you've been living on the fence. Maybe you haven't been all in for Jesus. Maybe at one point you were vibrant and passionate about sharing your faith with people. Maybe you were vibrant and passionate about your relationship with Jesus, but it's drifted from that place. I'm inviting you today back to a place where you present yourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. So when we close with prayer, I would invite whoever God is stirring to come forward for prayer. Sometimes we need to make a physical step towards God. So Father, I just pray right now as we just enter into a couple more songs of worship. God, whatever was of me today, I pray that it would fall to the ground. But whatever you're speaking to your son, to your daughter, not in condemnation, not in judgment, not in heaviness, but out of the grace of God that propels us forward in a relationship with you. I pray, God, that you would draw us to a place again of total surrender. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.